Wow, thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here, especially on Mother's Day. And I thank you for the invitation, too. And thank you for your prayers. You know, over the last several months, we missed each other. And we keep each other's in heart in prayers, right? And so wonderful to be here. And I appreciate so much of our worship team today and everyone who served. Amen? Yeah, give them a hand. Praise God. Did a good job. Today, of course, is Mother's Day. And it's a day we set aside to honor mothers. That's why I not only dress up for Sunday, Lord's Day, but also on the lunchtime to honor my children's mother, and the nighttime to honor my own mother. So it's happy and meaningful occasion. But as we take time to celebrate Mother's Day, I think we must also recognize that this day means many things to many people, right? And for some, it's a day of sorrow because their mothers are no longer with them, right? And there are some perhaps did not have a good relationship with their mothers. And there are some have had difficulties with becoming a mother. So maybe there are others whose children have caused them great pain in their life. So our thoughts, our prayers, and our support must be with them. So Mother's Day means many things to many people. But as difficult as this day for some, it's also a day of great joy for many, because it's very important, most importantly, that this day draws our attention to the incredible God-given role that mothers have in the life of the children. And I think mothers are some of the most underappreciated people in the world. You know? And on Mother's Day, so we remind each other and everyone to be good to their mothers and appreciate them more. As Christians, we are commanded to do so by faith and in obedience to the Lord, no matter how your relationship with your mothers, we should honor them, bless them. Amen? So we also should be aware of the influence that how our mothers and our other mother figures and other important women in our lives that influence us, especially in the church family. And we should also bless them. And also we should be aware of the influence we have on other people, especially children and young people, and to impact them around us with a positive way, right? Now, being a mother is not for the faint of heart, because it takes faith to become parents. It takes courage, because parenting faces tough decisions, decisions that sometimes are risky and heart-wrenching, and decisions that require faith. So faith is what we need to raise children, to impact others positively, so that they can become men and women of God. So today I want us to look at what it means to be a parent and a mother of faith, or individual, a follower of Christ with faith. We're going to look at this story of a great mother. Now, this great mother raised three amazing children. These children grow up to be amazing people, and they are world leaders. They are famous. They're spiritual giants. And you may not know this mother, but you might know her children. The children's name are Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. As the Bible says in Numbers 26:59, we have the names of the whole family and the mother. Okay? This is where all the names come together. The name of Aram's wife was Jochebed. Jochebed, a descendant of Levi, was born to the Levi in Egypt. To Aram, she bore Aaron, Moses, and her sisters, Miriam. Now, although it's not mentioned in the scripture what Aram, the father, did, it's very clear the mother, Jochebed, okay, played a very important, prominent role in her children and in the history of the people of Israel. Without Jochebed, there would be no Moses. There would be no Exodus. Jochebed make a strong and very powerful contribution to the history of the people of God. And her name means Yahweh is glory. Her whole life is to glorify God. And indeed, her faith, as we shall see, does glorify God in a wonderful way for many generations. Now, all we know about her faith is because of what she did for her son, Moses, when Moses was just a newborn baby. So when we look at Jochebed's life, we'll notice several aspects of her faith. And let's see what we can learn from her so that we can be men and women of faith. First of all, we see Jochebed's faith in adversity. Now, trials, difficulties, and obstacles come to all of us, right? But for the moment, we focus at the examples found in the life of Jochebed as a godly mother. We join her story in Exodus 2, okay? And then Exodus 1 gave us the background. Now, at that time, at this point of time, Miriam, the oldest child, was probably of the age 7 or 12, the Bible didn't say, and the younger brother, Aaron, was about 2 or 3 years old. The Bible doesn't really say, but it's an educated guess. Then the family find out that the mother, Jochebed, is pregnant, okay, with child, the third child. Now, usually pregnancy is happy occasion, right? Usually people cheer, celebrate, right? But for them, it was not. Because they live in a dangerous time. Because they were slaves in Egypt. Because they were poor, a poor, despised, abused people. And life back then was hard, especially working and under the rule of the cruel king, Pharaoh, who was growing paranoid. Why? Because he realized that the Hebrew women were given birth in large numbers. You know, Hebrew women really, really can birth babies. You know, and Pharaoh was worried that one day the Hebrews will outnumber the Egyptians. So Pharaoh, he hatched a wicked plan, a scheme, okay, to control the population of Israel. Okay. So this plan is to kill, to slaughter all the males' babies. Now, if you are a baby girl, yes, they allowed you to live. But if you were a baby boy, you will be slaughtered. You will be murdered. You will be killed. So you can imagine when Jochebed was pregnant, the anxiety, there was a lot of anxious moments in the family. Because back then, there was no ultrasound scan. Right? As the tummy of the mother getting bigger and bigger, everyone was anxious. Would it be a boy, a girl? Okay, because it brings very dangerous consequence. They had no clue, right? And finally, it's the day. Jacob is about to give birth. So contractions came, the waters back broke, and the midwife was called, and the baby was delivered. And most of the time, the midwife, who the Bible reminds us, they were God-fearing. Okay, when the midwife hold the baby's head, they would cheer and call the baby, oh, wonderful, it is a boy. But this time, the midwife probably with very disappointing tone would say, it's a boy. He would be killed. What do we do? Now the Bible says something very incredible, remarkable about Jacob, about this set of parents, because as we read in the Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Jacob and her husband, Aram, hid Moses, the baby, for 3 months, because they saw Moses was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of King's edict. So here, as we read in the scripture reading, there was a description. There is a description of Jacob's faith. She and her husband did not surrender the child to Pharaoh's evil commands because of their faith in God. And then we ask, why is that? Where does her faith come from? Then we realize Jacob has such a strong, deep faith in the trustworthiness of God's word, and that drove her to act. That brings us to realize her faith in action. And so Jacob did what she could. She hid Moses, the baby, for a period of time. In her action, we see, first of all, her faith to see. She has the faith to perceive something from God. She perceived something special in her child, and she obeyed God. You see, the Bible says, they saw the baby was a fine child. In other translation, this word fine child, is translated as a beautiful, beautiful child, handsome child, goody child, is an old ancient word, healthy, beautiful child. But Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11, we just read, it says, no ordinary child. Now, this note is taken not only in Exodus, but in Hebrews, in Acts, in the books of Acts, okay? And some scholars point out this word has shared the same Hebrew word with the word good proclaimed by God in his creation of the earth. Okay? So something of divine, something of creative, something of new beginning embedded in that word when they saw the fine child, no ordinary child. You know? And so something unique, something of a new beginning. And so they saw God's hand, God's plan, God's purpose, something unique in this baby, in this child, Moses. And I'm sure they remember, they always remember the promise that God made to their ancestor, Abraham, back in Genesis 15, 13 to 14, was this, about would deliver them after 400 years, deliver them from misery and the pain of slavery in a strange land. They always remember the word of God's promise. So in the same way, I think, as application, we need to see something unique in the children, in our children. Bible says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from Him. So Psalm 127, verse 3. So we need to see them as a heritage from the Lord, a blessing from God, a gift from God, a reward from God, and God gave them to us. They are not mistakes. They are not accidents. Now, it's probably easy for us to say, oh yeah, I believe the child, my child, is a gift from God. But it becomes a little bit difficult when the child is genetically diseased, or is intellectually challenged, or when the child is handicapped from birth, right? It becomes difficult when there are disabilities that are obvious in a child. And when things like this happen, you know what the world generally looks and says? They will look at the child and say, oh, the child is a mistake, it's an accident, there's nothing better for us to do, we have to abandon the child. It sounds like you know, if it's accident, if it's disease, then it's not from God. But the eyes of faith of a mother, of anyone who fear God, will look at the child very differently. The people of faith will not just see the children, but God in our children, God in the children, right? They see God's purpose. And then God gave them to us. And so there are no accidents or mistakes for us to give them up. So I'm very proud of parents when they realize children, regardless of what is obvious about the children, they realize it's a gift from God and that God has a purpose. And they will not abandon them, but will raise them up as best as they know how unto the glory of God. So Jochebed has the eyes of faith to see something the world doesn't see. That's what faith is about. Wholeheartedly believe in the word of God, remember God's promise, and see everything through those lenses that the world doesn't see. So I think when we go into parenting, we need to go beyond just the child. We need to see God's plan and purpose in the children. Now, we may have a very, for some or some people we know, we may have a difficult child. Some want to give them up or have the thought to give up hope on them. But remember, they were a gift from God. There's a purpose. There's a divine plan. So they will bring a blessings. Parenting them is a privilege, but it takes faith. So Moses was raised, okay, to because his mother saw God's image, God's plan, God's purpose in him, and will not give him up, but obey God, right? So they fear God more than man. And secondly, Jochebed's faith brings us to see another aspect of faith. Jochebed has the faith not only to see, but only to protect. She actually risked her life protecting the child. Actually, she actually risked the lives of the whole family to protect the child. You can imagine when the child is born, the baby will make a lot of noise, right? Babies like that. And it could be so loud. Back then, the rooms in the house has no soundproofing, right? So in those days, you know, not surrendering the baby to Pharaoh when discovered is equal to treason and would be put to death and be killed. But the Bible tells us that they hid Moses by faith to protect this child. And then in application, it reminds us today that we need faith also to protect children, our children. As parents, you know, especially mothers, are very good in protecting children. It's natural. I protect my children from rain, from diseases, from harms. I do everything for them. I'm a Yasihao father, as Chinese say. And rightfully so. But I think it teaches us that we need to protect our children spiritually as well. Spiritually as well. That means protecting them spiritually from the lies and the deceptions in the world. Those lies and deceptions are ways the devil used to corrupt the minds, our minds, and to lead us away from God. For example, the world will tell our children that there's no God, and that there's a big bang that explains the whole world without God, right? And the world will tell us that there's no such thing as moral truth. There's no such thing as sexuality or gender, and all that's for us, free will to desire. And we have we make the absolute truth. Those are lies and deceptions. The world, for example, will present to our children many things that they can pursue, many idols they can go for, whether it's dream for money, power, prestige, the look, or other things. So it takes a brave parent, a parent with faith, someone with faith to protect, to shield children, our children, from all these unbiblical values today. So we see Jacob had the faith, not only to see, but the faith to protect. And we must see that, yes, also, the mother Moses had such faith, but alone is not enough. She must also have the faith to what? To build into the child, to prepare Moses to be a man, a child of God, right? So to prepare is to build in them, to teach them in such a way so that they will be ready one day, you know, to follow God, so that they will be ready when they leave home and still stick to the truth of God, still walk on the straight and narrow way of God. Because Jacob knows, we know, that protecting, hiding Moses has a limit, only 3 months. Okay? And the baby cries so loud, he cannot hide him anymore. And so Moses could only be hidden for 3 months, and after that, he has to be let go. So as application, I think how, as parents, we may spend all our lives imagining we're going to protect our children, okay? Shield them, build around them fences, you know, financially, physically, whatever, or your own presence. Then comes a day when you realize you cannot build fences around them anymore. You know, like me as a father, like my wife, Simo as a mother, we have to let them go. Go into the school, go into the society, go to the workplace, go into this world, go into challenges, heartaches, and trials, and difficulties, and risk. And there's such a day, and also as parents, as mother, you're gonna die, and you cannot protect them anymore, right? So what do you do? Jacob knew that. What did God allow her faith to do? Now that brings the story to amazing twist about miracle God is about to do, because this is where God gave Jacob this marvelous, miraculous privilege and opportunity to prepare Moses, to build into Moses' life God's truth. And that's a wonderful reward of God's in honoring the faith of a mother. Genuine faith has God's reward. That's the truth. That's the fact. We read in the story that Jochebed realized they could not hide Moses anymore, so she made and put him in a basket, papyrus basket, coated with tar and pitch, and placed it among the reeds along the river bank of the river Nile, right? And then she prayed and said goodbye to see what God would take this little guy, right, little boy. And then we read also, inspired by the faith of her mother, the daughter Miriam did not give up. She stood at a distance to look at what's going to happen to Moses, her young brother, baby brother, in a basket. And miraculously, providentially, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe in the river. It blew my mind. River Nile is not clean. Doesn't she, like any princess in the palace, has a shower, has a nice bath? Why would she come down to the River Nile to bathe? It just blew my mind. Why? It must be the work of God, right? And then the princess' attendants walk alongside the riverbank, and then at the right moment, the princess saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant, woman servant, and then the princess took the baby and looked at the baby. They opened the basket, and Moses cried at the right time, at the right moment, to touch her heart. She took pity on this baby and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Somehow she knew. okay, because there's a mark or a clothing or whatever, that this is one of the Hebrews. Now, Miriam must have the wisdom of Jochebed, her mother, because Miriam was very clever, very creative. She seized the moment, the opportunity, and then she came to the Pharaoh's daughter and said, "Hey, here is a Hebrew baby. Shall I go? I offer you service and get a Hebrew nurse to take care of the child for you." It's back then, it's an ancient tradition. Pharaoh's daughter said, "Sure, why not? Go get one." And so the girl went, Miriam went, of course. Whom did she call? Her mother, Jochebed. No. So to bring her to take care of her own son. Now, of course, I don't think Miriam say much. "Oh, I'm going to bring this baby's mother." No, of course not. She just say, "I'm going to get a Hebrew woman." So she's very, very clever. And then Jochebed came, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I'll give you your wages." Talk about baby subsidies, eh? Parenting reward, eh? This is amazing. So Jochebed, God's given her this miracles to protect the baby. And then this princess realized, "I also want to protect this baby. And even though my father, Pharaoh, wants to destroy this baby's life, but I'm not. So, and I'm going to pay you, Jochebed, money to take care of your own son." I mean, imagine the excitement and the wow and the delight on the mother's face, right? Jochebed. You can almost picture Miriam running to Jochebed, her mother, and then telling her what happened. And I think the thankful expression, the gratefulness, the prayers got answered was all on Jochebed's face. Okay? She would say with great joy, "I knew God saves. God would provide. God will open a door, a way when there's no door, when there's no way." God's providence was seeing to it that Jochebed's faith was rewarded, not only being reunited with her own child, not only the child's life was spared, but also the privilege to build into Moses' life the truth of God, to prepare him to be used by God. In fact, the mercy and the goodness of God was so great, you know, that Jochebed was even paid for doing that. It's an amazing example how God gives, how God opens door, how God provides and answers our prayers and give abundantly when we dare to ask, when we dare to pray. That's how God does things. And now Jochebed spent time with her child, baby Moses. The child grew older, bigger. We do not know how many years. Those are the silent years, the Bible doesn't reveal, but we know Jochebed, the mother, did a fantastic job. Because maybe some scholars say Jochebed had Moses for 3 years, 5 years, or even 7 years, to a time when it's time for Moses to return to Pharaoh's daughters, and now became Pharaoh's daughter's son. And the prince even named Moses, okay, prince in Egyptian language, but in Hebrews is the child that been saved from the water. Okay? So Jochebed did a fantastic job teaching Moses, because the Hebrews, book of Hebrews chapter 11, told us that when Moses turned 40, okay, when Moses turned 40 years old, he was all built in and soaked in all the when he was in the palace, all the splendor of palace, all the comfort, all the culture, all the philosophy, all the religions, all the knowledge, you know, 40 years old, right? And then he had a choice to make. He decided to follow God, to turn his back on Egypt, on all the prestige and power, and to follow God's plan and purpose in his life. Okay? He may have the chance to become the next Pharaoh, but he chose to suffer affliction with the people, his own people. And he was built into his life about the promise of God, the promised land, the destiny of his people. Why would Moses do that? Would Egypt teach Moses to do that? We know, no. Who told Moses the rest of the recorded scripture? Who told Moses that the real God is Jehovah God? Who told Moses about the story of the promise of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Who told Moses about God's promises of a heavenly city, of a promised land? Not Egypt. Who told Moses about the Garden of Eden, about sin, and the promise of a Savior? Who else but his mother, Jochebed, right? So many years, baby Moses, infant Moses, heard stories, heard truth about God from his mother. When he was 40, he decided, I will go where my God leads me. That's a fantastic job. Now, in application, maybe it's not as dramatic as it is for us today or for you today, but do you realize God has given you tremendous privilege to spend the early years of your child or of children that you can impact to? Is given to you. It said 85% of a child's character is formed before the age of 7. Okay? Even in Chinese saying, even at the age of 3, and then it was set for his life until 80. So, idiom saying this. But this is how, so it's necessary for faith to be built into the children, to our children. It's not an option. So think about that we can shape the hearts of a child, of children, that God given us the privilege, you know. But remember, we are representative of God to a child. They look at us as giants because they're small. We are big and tall. They look at us as giants. When we tell them the truth about God, it has great impact to them. Okay? But the way we live our life, the way we treat them, the way we teach them reflects a lot about what we believe about God and what God's plan and purpose in their life. Right? Many, many parents are praying parents. They pray for our children, for the children. They pray for their salvation. They pray that they will know Jesus. But we should do more than praying. We should impact them, build into them faith, teach them, exemplify. You know? So faith is rewarding. I'd like to close with this illustration, the story written by Franklin Alley. The story goes, years, many years ago, a young mother was making her way across the hills of South Wales. She carried her baby, tiny baby, in her arms, and there was a big snowstorm. She carried the baby and walked the distance in a blinding blizzard. This young mother never reached the destination alive. But when the storm subsided, her body was found beneath the snow. And the searchers, the rescuers, discovered that before her death, she had taken off all her outer clothing and wrapped it around her baby. And when they unwrapped the baby, the child, they were surprised and glad they found the baby was still alive and well. So the mother had given her life for the child, sacrificing her life, proving the depth of a mother's love. Years later, this child grown into manhood, and he became the great leader of the country during the wartime. The country was a better place for a time because the mother gave her life for her son. Now, indeed, the world is a better place because there are many mothers, brave, courageous, godly mothers that gave their life for their children. But on a much greater scale, I think, the world today is a better place when over 2,000 years ago, God, the Father, gave his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, to die on a cruel Roman cross to pay the penalties for the sins of all mankind. Because Isaiah, The prophet said, "He was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed." And we thank God. The promise, the work of this salvation, redemption, include us, you and me, and the child to become a child of God. And now, because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the world is changed forever. And all those who put their trust and faith in him will live forever. There will be no more sickness, fear, sorrow, or death. So God, with his motherly love, sent his son, his only begotten son, to give us this new life, to save us from death and destruction. Mothers are the reflection of such sacrificial love. And so for Mother's Day, we have looked into the life of a godly mother of faith. She was fearless. She was full of faith and even stood in the presence of her enemies in love and care for the child. So the story of Jacobin, Moses' mother, exemplify the great faith we must follow, because it set the foundation for the inspiring testimony of not only Moses and for many others who may be impacted by our faith in God. A godly mother of faith has the courage to do the right thing, even in difficult times. She would choose to fear God, to do right, than obey the ungodly world. She'll be willing to suffer for obedience to God. That takes courage and faith. Godly mother has the faith to confidently believe in God's hand and purpose for her child. And Jacob had believed also the Lord God is amazing God. He will work in her circumstances, no matter how unseemly, how difficult and unimaginable it may be. So today, we honor our mothers, truly God's gift to us. And I'd like to say thank you, all the mothers, for your selfless work. Yeah. Thank you for being godly, obedient to God. And so be encouraged, everyone. Hard and difficult time do not wipe out God's providence in your life. He rules it all. He brings about his perfect plan in your lives. So be encouraged by this wonderful truth. And also, we'll say, ask the Lord Jesus to give you courage if you have faced fearful circumstances. Give you courage to be courageous, to live for him. It takes courage to stand against the ungodliness. All these things of our day. Be bold for Jesus. And then grow in your ability to trust him more in the midst of your circumstances. Become men and women of faith. As you trust for him, for every pressing needs and concerns and worries in your life. Perhaps Jesus is speaking to you today. Go to him. Come to him and be saved. The door of blessing, the door of grace is open. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the model, for the example of a godly mother, Jochebed. Thank you for her faith in you, for her courage, for her sacrifice, for her undying love for her child to honor you. Thank you for those who also, for those who pour into our lives love. We thank you for those who have worked hard for us. We thank you for those who keep walking by faith, pointing us to Jesus every day. And many times we realize this person is called mother. So we pray that you bless our mothers and bless many others. May our mothers be blessed today by the way we choose to live our lives for you. For we pray all this in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.